Welcome to the Productivity Show by Asian Efficiency, helping you do more and be better. And now here's your host, Zachary Sexton.
Thank you for tuning into the Productivity Show by Asian Efficiency. My name is Zachary Sexton, and today I have with me Jamie Tardy. Welcome, Jamie.
Thanks so much for having me.
Hey, it's great to have you on. I'm glad I made it. I made the list. You're a very busy lady. So just a quick introduction. Jamie Tardy is a business coach and a speaker that has interviewed over 150 millionaire entrepreneurs. She has been featured on many major news outlets such as CNN, MSN, Success Magazine, and Yahoo. And she recently authored the book, The Eventual Millionaire. And you can listen to all of her millionaire interviews, and I encourage you to do so. They're very enlightening at eventualmillionaire.com. So, Jamie, that is a little spiel. Do you want to take a minute and talk about yourself personally, like who you are and how you help other people?
Definitely. So it's funny, we were talking about before, I live in Austin now, but I'm from a small town in Maine, and I'm a business coach. And it's funny, Maine is the 49th worst state in the US for business. So I was like traveling around trying to find businesses and decided to go online. And the cool thing is I came up with this domain name called Eventual Millionaire and hated writing and decided to sort of stumble on this podcasting thing, started interviewing millionaires. I'm up to over 200 millionaires that I've interviewed in the last 4 years because there's a weekly one that comes out every single week. And we help people with their businesses, how to start and grow their business so they can enjoy their life first and money second. Because my whole shtick is that I went after the money in corporate for a long time first, realizing that life is way more important than, you know, working 60, 70 hours a week at a corporate job. Even though I made, you know, really great money. I made six figures when I hit 22 with an expense account and all that fun stuff. But none of that matters when you're miserable sitting alone in your own hotel room. So it went money second and life first. And so that's sort of how I've come across. I ask millionaires a lot about work-life balance, of course, but also how they can grow their business faster so we can have more revenue and money for the time that we have to enjoy our life.
Well, that is great. That sounds like you're providing a lot of value to the world. And my first question actually has to do with Maine. I did know you were from Maine, you and John Lee Dumas. So I wanted to talk to you about your insights that you've gotten from all those millionaire interviews. So we'll probably, that'll be the huge chunk of the show. But I first want to start with your people. So everybody knows and loves Jamie Tardy. I don't know if you're not in the online business space, which I'm sure many people out there are not. You may not know Jamie Tardy, but if you are, you do, and you like her. How did you go from a small-time business coach in Maine to an extremely popular business coach and speaker with a huge platform and mainly, and this is where the productivity comes in, lots of influential friends? Because we all know you can only do so much in a day, but if you have people surrounding you, bringing you up and helping you on your path, then things become a lot easier. So besides just having a bubbly personality, how did you do it? How do you maintain those relationships and grow those relationships?
Well, it's kind of funny, right? So Maine in general, very small, right? Town of 2,000 people, not a lot to do. So just in the way of efficiency and productivity, I was like, hey, you know what? I have a degree in IT. I'm a huge computer geek. Why am I driving around Maine trying to talk to businesses? The internet exists. And it was kind of silly that I wasn't using it in any way, shape, or form. So I decided to go, okay, I'm going to go online. And I remember talking to my mentor who was sort of mentoring me for 2 years at the time. He wanted me to take over his business, but it was completely offline. And so I remember going, you know, I think going on the internet's the way to go. Like I'm sick of driving around and wasting all the time that I had because I only worked 20 hours a week. I had two small kids at the time. So working 20 hours a week and seeing all my time driving around was just not efficient in any way at all. And I wasn't even using the skills that I had. So that was the reason why I decided to go online. And that was 5 years ago, which is crazy. Feels like forever ago now.
Well, in internet years, I believe that's 37.
Forever. But that's the thing, right? So it's amazing what you can accomplish in 5 years. I knew nothing about online marketing at the time. So hopping online and going, okay, I'm going to start this blog. It was just a test, actually. Eventual Millionaire was a test. I talked about how I got out of $70,000 in debt and quit my job. So it didn't have anything to do with business coaching either, which is silly, by the way. I should have done that. I didn't start shifting it into business coaching. Thankfully, the URL aligned very well to go for either. And I blogged and blogged and blogged. And it was kind of silly because I'm not a writer. I got a C in writing when I was growing up. So I thought, man, I'm a horrible writer. So why am I spending so much time writing? And I was in a mastermind group with, actually, you probably know him, Pat Flynn, who has a site called smartpassiveincome.com, and a couple other people. And he had a podcast. And both him and another woman that had a podcast, he doesn't have it anymore, was like, you should start a podcast. And my friend Maren goes, you should interview millionaires. And I was like, I don't know any millionaires. Like, I live in the middle of nowhere in Maine. Nobody's going to be like, hey, I'm a millionaire and come talk to me, right? Even the business owners that I was working with, even if they had a $1 million business, most of them were not net worth of $1 million. They had too many expenses. And so I didn't know any at all, zero. And so it's kind of funny being in a small town in Maine, not knowing any millionaires, but not letting that sort of stop you. I started going online and like looking them up and finding people who were already saying they were millionaires. And that's the start of the network. So don't get me wrong. I love people. I adore anybody pretty much. One of my friends said I wasn't discerning enough because I seem to love everybody for different reasons, right?
Well, I appreciate you not being too discerning with me.
But that's what's so funny, right? Like everybody's got their own thing. And even even some people that other people don't like, I'm like, yeah, but they're this, and this are really cool about them. So I adore people in general. And so getting out and being able to meet amazingly successful people. Because 5 years ago, I ended up writing down, because there's this great quote, you're the average of the five people you spend the most time with. And I don't know how accurate that is technically. I don't know if they did tons of research, right? I think it's a Jim Rohn quote. But I wrote down the five people that were my closest friends, and they weren't where I want to be. Don't get me wrong, they're good people, but they hated their jobs. They were stuck, you know, and I realized I really need to start getting out there with people that really wanted to achieve a lot. Cause I was an overachiever since I was little. You know, I bought my first house when I was 19 thinking like, yeah, this is the American dream. I mean, it was debt, which I didn't realize, but that's what I thought was the right way to go. I liked achieving things. And so surrounding myself with achievers was really, really important. And the way I did that was starting a mastermind group and starting this podcast. And now when you look around, it's kind of insane. Like I never would have been able to predict where I am right now. Because when you're a small town girl from Maine and you look around and you're like, wow, I have people emailing me every day saying I changed their life. I have millionaire introductions. I think I have a bunch in my inbox right now. Somebody just asked me if I wanted two more right before I hopped on this podcast. It's insane to see what has changed in my life. Or even like you said, going to like a conference, I feel like a little celebrity. I was a geek in high school, so I was never cool. And John Dumas, who you mentioned earlier, me and him went to high school together. He was 3 years older than me, and he was very popular. He was like the prom king, right? I was a geeky girl voted most artistic. So like, I'm not, you know, I in no way was a Miss Popular in anything, but it's amazing to be able to go to these conferences. And I had a woman at this last conference I was keynoting run out of the elevators going, oh my gosh, it's Jamie Dardy, which was so weird for me. You know what I mean? And then she said she had pictures, like a bazillion pictures taken with me, and then was like, this is like the best day ever. And I'm just sitting there going, this is so surreal. But it is. You have so much power no matter where you live anymore. You have so much reach no matter where you live, because we have these amazing tools that can reach all around the world. I mean, I've had people all over the world be like, hey, come out to London. I'll show you around. Come out to Japan. I'll show you around. Like people everywhere can reach and listen to my podcast from one microphone that I'm sitting in front of right now. So it's just insane. We are so lucky we live in the world we live in.
We really are. I think I was having the same conversation with Mike Vardy. It's just like, we are. I heard his interview that you did with on his podcast, The Productivityist. It was a good one. It was about leveling up. So I guess we're probably in a similar theme here, how to level up your friends. And you did that really intentionally. And I think that's a different approach than most people would take, is actually taking the time to sit down, pin the paper, which is another thing that Mike Vardy's big into, and we're pretty big into it as well at Asian Efficiency. some other things that I know about you is you're very intentional, first with the people that you spend time with. Maybe not discerning, but intentional. But you're also intentional with your goals. Can you talk about some of your specific goal-setting strategies? I actually just used one of yours. If you mention it, I'll say it. If not, I might just tell you what it is. It's a really good hack that I got from one of your online webinars that you performed about a month ago.
That sounds great. Now I'm wondering which one.
Oh, it's good. Yeah, it's really good. It actually helped me out a lot, though. So I'll let you talk about some of the goal-setting strategies that you've had and you've used over the last few years, and then maybe we'll talk about that little one.
Totally. So the interesting thing is when I'm going through, I've worked with a lot of clients before. Big business owners, you know, just starting, it runs the gamut. And one of the things that's really interesting is how easy it is for us to set a goal, right? And because most of the people I work with, they're eventual millionaires, right? They've got goals, right? The problem is they'll write them down and then never look at them again. They'll write them down on their computer and then not find the little note wherever they put it on their computer. So it's one of those things. It's a very big difference to have your goal and break it down into what you need to be doing every single day in order to achieve that, and having that sole focus where that is the most important thing that you are working on. In my group coaching group, Millionaire Hustlers, I only let people pick one goal. Like, and they hate me for it, right? I don't even let them listen to podcasts or read blogs. I know it's silly, but I'm like, you need to be paying attention to this goal. Your number one thing is this goal over and over and over again. Every day you're looking at this goal, because the universe sort of opens up to you when you start really trying to solve one specific problem. Because what tends to happen as an entrepreneur or anybody that runs a business or anyone that even doesn't run a business, we sort of get bombarded with life. Everything comes down to craziness, right? We are running around like chicken with our heads cut off all the time. And that's why they're listening to this right now. They want to become more efficient. They want to become more productive. They want to be able to get more done. And one of the best ways to do that is to have this sole focus. So while people don't like it, right? I even make people delete Facebook off their phone and install like Facebook newsfeed eradicator so they can't look it up on their desktop. So that way we really become efficient and paying attention to that one goal. And that's how you see progress. Because if you have more than one goal, we only have so much time, you will see less progress. It's like if you, there's actually a great book. And I know you're going to ask me about a book in a second. This is one of my favorite books that I'm reading right now. It's called Essentialism.
And I've been hearing a lot about that lately. Yeah.
Amazing book. Pat Flynn and Michael Hyatt both told me to read it. And I was like, okay, I'm pretty good with productivity, right? And I only work like 30, 35 hours a week. Like, I'm pretty good with this. And, you know, I have people to do my stuff for me and all that fun stuff. But it was amazing, sort of the visuals that they have. Even though it's very similar to what I talk about, the visuals were amazing. They have one circle. And it had probably like 15 different little teeny arrows around it. And it took that circle, and of course it's harder to visualize when I'm speaking about it, but you take that and you take the same amount of energy and movement that those arrows were doing, and you put them on one arrow. So it's got another circle, except it has one arrow, and it spans the entire page, right? So when we start breaking it up and having different focuses and all over the place, you can't make very much progress. Right. I remember one of the millionaires that I was at Internet Marketing Party here in Austin. Somebody came up and asked him a question. And she goes, so I have two products and I have a question about, and he goes, stop right there. He goes, I know your problem. And she's like, I didn't ask my question. How do you know my problem? And he goes, your problem is you have two products. There is another company out there that only does one of those products. And there's another company out there that only does the other one. And they will both beat you. I was like, whoa, that's crazy. But that is the point, right? They're putting 100% of their time on one product. She's putting 50% of her time on one of her products. And it's just simple math on how much you can actually do. So having that sole focus, I know I'm harping on this quite a bit. This isn't like total the goal setting tactic, but it's huge to be able to have that one focus until you get that done and achieve that and then move on to another one.
No, that aligns very well. And is that single focus, is that how you live and work as well? Is that how you get down to sometimes 20, but then sometimes 30 hours a week? Which if you work in an online business, it's so difficult because open your laptop and you're in your office. And so it's so easy to just expand your work to the time that you allow it. So is that something that you do, or is there any other strategies you do in addition to that?
Heck yeah, we only have one goal. So we have, so the cool thing is that we have a revenue goal, right? When you have a revenue goal, you can break it down into different products and services. So we do different launches. I'm redoing a couple programs that I have right now. Having a team is really helpful. And also having children that get out of school at a certain time is very helpful, because I have to go but I have to play with them and I have to make them dinner and all those fun things. So me having my laptop around, no, it's not open half the time. So having something to replace the time outside of working definitely helps too. But I only have so much time and I really need to make sure I really am efficient with what I've got. And so I know, I mean, we use Asana and Slack in my business. And so being able to make sure that we go, okay, I know exactly what the most important tasks are for today are, because if I get these three things done, it will help move Kendra or Natalie or someone else on my team farther ahead. So that way when I'm not working, they can still be moving ahead too. That stuff matters, you know?
Could you talk about the millionaire master schedule? I feel like this really aligns with what you're talking about, with actually cutting out space for your kids, for play. I know you do jiu-jitsu, and as well as your work and focusing in on your highest priority tasks.
Heck yes. So it's so funny. We talk about this in my group coaching group, and most people sort of bypass it, right? And I do this with all my one-on-one clients. Most people are like, yeah, I've heard that before, whatever, it's not a big deal. Right? Just like, oh, that's cliche. But actually using it is huge. One of my business coaches suggested I use it years ago. And it's really, really important to make sure we're doing tasks when they feel really good. So when you wake up in the morning, you have a certain amount of energy. And when we can go through your whole week and figure out when is the best time to do what, that's huge, right? Some of it we have no control over. Like, my children get out of school at 2:45 every day. There's only so much that I can do about that. But being able to make sure that at 2:45, I've gone over everything and the most important tasks is really important. So like for me specifically, Tuesdays and Thursdays are my one-on-one coaching days. So I work from about 10 to 2:30 with the clients that I have. And I only have a handful because I charge a lot of money, thankfully, for one-on-one coaching. I don't do too much one-on-one coaching anymore, but I adore it. But I also don't want it to take up every second of my day. If I had one or two clients peppered throughout my week, it really interrupts your flow. There's only so much you can actually get done. When we actually have time to sit down and work on something very specific and open amount of time, like, hey, I have the next 3 hours to complete this and this, that's when you're actually going to be getting stuff done. So we try and batch as much as humanly possible. So that way we really make sure as a business owner, you're doing the stuff that's important. Because like I said, in your goal setting, if you're not lining up with the things you need to be doing every day to be moving your goal forward, you aren't going to get there. You just aren't, right? If you're like, oh, but I have this coaching call and I have this thing and I have this thing and oh, and so-and-so wants to talk and oh, my email, somebody tried to do this. Everybody's trying to get me specifically to get on the phone with them. Oh, Jamie, let's just hop on the phone. We say no to almost everyone. And I was even doing, I know it's funny how you're saying, oh, thanks so much for coming on the show. I've batched today. So I have a whole bunch of interviews where I'm getting interviewed. I also do the same thing for my millionaire interviews. I do all four in one day to batch them all out. And we went through my list and we're like, you know what? That one extra day of me doing all these interviews, we're not getting a huge return as far as people signing up for the list or anything like that. We're going to postpone that. So you're, I think, one of the last interviews I'm going to be doing for a while. And we have had a wait list for a really long time anyway. I don't know how long you waited to get this one, but I know a lot of people were waiting a long time beforehand, like 5 months, which is kind of crazy. Hopefully we didn't make you wait that long, of course.
I was doing some sweet talking. I know how it works. And if you didn't agree, I was going to sick tan on you since he lives in Austin as well.
He lives close. No, well, that's the funny thing. I was like, okay, anyone that's a friend of Tan's, I mean, we're going on now. So I did probably bump you up a little bit. Thankfully, because again, this is sort of the last one, but you have to be really cognizant of what you're doing with the time that you have. Because we noticed, like, I was the bottleneck. I mean, I still am the bottleneck, right? I do a lot of the content creation and there's only so much content creation I can do in the time that I have. So now we have more ghostwriters that can help with taking some of the transcripts from the millionaire interviews that I have and getting all that data and writing things up. And then I go over it, right? To make sure that it's accurate in what I think. And I give them feedback and all that fun stuff. So wherever you're seeing the bottlenecks, you can really start to pay attention in your master schedule by going, how much time am I actually working on this? Like, how much time am I working on actual marketing and sales? You would be surprised how little business owners in general work on marketing and sales. It's crazy.
And that's the highest leverage thing that you can do. So you
exactly
figured out how you could delegate or automate or outsource different parts of your business so you could do the things that only you could do, which is, well, for now, thankfully, being on interviews, but also hosting your podcast and hosting online workshops and working one-on-one with your clients and working with group coaching of your clients. Those are the things that only Jamie Tardy can do. And everything else can be systematized and outsourced. And it's reminding me of all these different interviews that are swimming around in my head that I've had recently. Had a little batch day today as well. And I'd love to just start talking about all of them, but I'll let other people listen to the podcasts that are coming up or that have gone in the past. All right. Well, Jamie, I know you got to be running a little bit. So let's get to the last part of the show, which is three questions. And they are about a book, a tool, and a frog. And so I know you're actually shooting from the hip here. You didn't necessarily know these ones were coming. But to start with, what's a book? And I know you just mentioned Essentialism, so you can use that as your book or come up with another one, maybe your book, that has helped you become more productive recently.
I'm totally going to say Essentialism, not only because I think it is one of the best books that I've read recently, because it definitely is, but also if I give you two, you probably won't do either. So go
get I see what you did there. One thing.
One thing.
So I won't mention that other book that might be called something similar.
Oh, Essentialism is totally awesome. I highly recommend it. And people recommend books and send me books all the time. And no offense, a lot of them I skim through as quick as humanly possible. But Essentialism is ridiculously good. So so especially for your audience, if it has not been mentioned before, oh my goodness, I need to mention it 1,000 times for your people. So that would be the book. I highly recommend it. The tool, it's funny, thinking about tools, I mean, there's tons of like apps and tactics, but to tell you the truth, one of the best things that that I've recently done, I hate cleaning, by the way. Not a fan of dishes, cleaning, cooking. I know I'm a great housewife. Because I also know I charge like $1,000 an hour, right, for coaching. So me doing the dishes is always like, I could be doing something that's way worth my time. So I had a company come over and like cleaning company and stuff like that. But I recently, just a few weeks ago, hired a personal assistant. And it's a lot less expensive than I thought. The cleaning company that I had before was like $30-something an hour, which is quite a bit of money, right? So I ended up finding somebody who is amazing. She's actually cooking downstairs right now, if you can hear banging around. She's doing all the cooking for us, and I have her signed up for prepdish.com. So everything's all prepped and ready to go, and she cooks all the meals that are already emailed to her. And that has saved so much time. I come downstairs because my office is upstairs and my house is clean and I feel like so amazing because I don't have to be like, I mean, kids are very messy in general, even when we make them clean. It can be crazy. I think they were working on cardboard last night and it's all over the place. And so being able to just come down to a really, really clean house, and she only works about 10 hours a week. So it's not a ridiculous amount of money. And being able to have somebody really there to support you is kind of huge. And I know not everybody can do that, but we even talked about, you know, sharing one with our neighbor or sharing it with a friend and having somebody like cook more meals at one time, you know, and you split the cost of however much that'll be to have them both do it. Just because it's not something that I'm a fan of, right? Don't get me wrong. I like baking treats sometimes, but when you can go through your life and figure out what you actually like doing and what you don't like doing, I remember listening to a podcast long ago and the woman was like, hire a cleaning person, have a personal assistant. And I remember being like, yeah, right. I mean, gosh, how much does that cost? That's so much money, right? But being able to really pay attention to what your gifts are and aligning that with being able to do more and more and more of that and take away the stuff that you don't like to do, I mean, I drive a Honda Civic, you know, I'm not like this super fancy anything. I don't care much about material items, but having somebody cook my food for me, oh my gosh, is like the best feeling in the world. I know that's a long tool and tip, but outsource the stuff that you don't like doing, no matter what it is.
That's perfect. And I think if people thought a little bit more like you, you're just like, well, I could make $1,000 an hour over here, or I could do something that I could pay somebody $20 an hour to do. It's a no-brainer. If you change your mindset as this is an investment, so I can have more time and freedom to do the things that I'm really good at, then it makes sense, and it doesn't seem like an extravagance. Buying a fancy new car with a $1,000 a month payment, well, that's not necessarily an investment. That's just a toy that you bought. So it does, as extravagant as it sounds, I agree with you. The one thing that I just outsourced recently, or about 6 months ago, is doing my laundry. That is I hate it. I don't like doing it. And we got a laundry service that picks it up and brings it back and folds it and matches the socks, which is huge for me because I'm colorblind and I'm really bad at doing that. So much frustration, and Sundays just gotten back. Like, oh, I don't have to do laundry all day. I could go on a hike. And it's, again, like you were saying, with your assistant and then cleaning service, not as expensive as you thought if you really think about the value of your time as well as the value of your time off.
Totally. The laundry thing, I mean, I have lots of children. I have lots and lots of laundry, so I agree with you 1,000%. This is not something I want to be doing with my life, especially the sock thing. Oh my gosh, creates so much frustration. So I agree with you 1,000%. And it's so funny how you can do it. I remember thinking, like, that's what, you know, rich people do. But I would much rather be paying attention. But I would much rather either have less vacations or, you know, be able to be paying attention to how can I make, you know, $600 or $700 more a month so I can afford this, instead of going, no, that's not for me. I can't do that. Right.
Well, maybe that's what rich and eventually rich millionaire people trying to dive back in there. All right. Well, we'll cut things off with a frog. Do you have any big projects coming up on your way?
I do. It's so funny. I have a lot of projects coming up right now. We're actually creating a new product as we speak. We just went to a bunker weekend, which was me and my online business manager sort of head down recreating our funnel, which is great. But what's so funny is I like doing that stuff. To me, that's not eating a frog in any way, shape, or form. The thing that I was just doing, though, is a frog to me. I have to record outros for all the millionaire interviews that I do. And if I don't do them on the day of the interview, I have to like think back and remember what we said because the transcripts aren't done yet. And that is my frog. It's so funny. My assistant keeps going, okay, Jamie, you still need to do these. We're running out of time. And we have an editor. The editor is like waiting on you. And I'm like, oh, fine. I'll do it again. So we batched time on during interview days to do them, so that way I could just get them bang out and do four of them and get them done. But 9 times out of 10, my calls run a little bit long, and anyway, it doesn't work out well. So we've been doing them. I just did 5 of them just now. Oh my gosh, they're so annoying. I don't know. I mean, it seriously only takes me 2 minutes to do each one because I don't have to, like, it doesn't take a lot of recording time. It's just a pain in the butt, but nobody else can do it. It has to be me.
Yeah.
So anyway, yes, that's one of those frogs, and it just is what it is. And you got to do what you got to do. So we've been blocking out time, and I'm like, all right, sometimes I time myself to make it a little more fun. Okay, how many can I get done in 20 minutes? So that way I'm just done and uploaded and all that fun stuff. It's silly, but it works, right?
People out there, I'm sure, have gotten a lot of information, and they can find all of the notes and tools that we talked about on theproductivityshow.com/32 or theproductivityshow.com/tardy if you want to find what we were talking about there. And we're always at Asian Efficiency on the Twitter, and you can email us at podcast@asianefficiency.com. Jamie, where can people find you one more time again?
If you go to eventualmillionaire.com, you can actually sign up for the 3 habits of all successful millionaires too. So some of the stuff that they do consistently in achieving all their good, fun success.
Ooh, I'm glad we actually didn't get to that, because now people have to find out. Oh, and the tool, just so people aren't emailing me and asking, you said to set up an if, then that to yourself every day, reminding you of your goals.
Yes.
I set up one that says, what have my last 5 actions been? So I just have to, when I get the text, it's if then then that text, I would say, what are the five things I've done? So I'd think about it. And do they align with February's goal of finishing the rituals course and webinar? And, you know, they weren't at first, and then they started to becoming, yes, that was true. I set it for 11 o'clock, so I should have already been eating my frog and working on the course or the webinar that goes with the course, and it really helped me out. So thank you for that tip.
I love this. I love that. Yeah, I have it do mine every single morning, too. It reminds me, so I know exactly what I need to be doing. That's awesome.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Jamie. Thanks for joining us. It's been a pleasure. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this show and would like to learn more about optimizing your productivity, visit us at AsianEfficiency.com.